Welcome to The Good Stuff with Sonoma County Wine Growers. I'm Virginie Boone alongside CEO of The Wine Growers, Carissa Cruz. We're here to talk about what makes Sonoma County such a special place to grow, make, and enjoy wine.
And dance.
And eat red vines.
In really random Swedish.
And Swedish.
Sweet gummy mix that Swedish I actually gummies. Did get at the airport in Palm Springs, just FYI.
High
it looked interesting.
Candy.
I know. No, I think they're a little maybe too fancy for us.
Yeah.
Is where I'm kind of going with this.
That could be.
I mean, I'm now giving it to Jeff. You have to look. I mean, it's like, choose wisely. Well, you actually picked, you got the bottle.
Huh. Airport that candy's hard.
It is. I was kind of fascinated by this one, though. I thought that looked really good.
Is it as expensive as airport beer and wine?
It is.
Oh, God,
I do.
Yeah.
I do
oh,
think this bag might have cost me like $14.
Huh. That's a quarter of a beer.
That's my, I just want you to know, that's what I'm investing in this show. So, and for you, Jeff, and
you're so benevolent, Chris.
Thank
you so
you're
much.
So welcome.
Thank you so much, Sire.
Yeah, I think the candy I got in
the
Chilean airport might have been not quite at the same level of dollar.
Do you know what's done to me? Is I don't even actually know what's at the Santa Rosa airport.
I don't know if they have candy. There's not a lot of candy.
There's that little shop with the coffee and you get water and pastries and stuff.
There's not a lot of candy.
Huh.
I've checked it out.
Oh, so.
Mm-hmm. I've checked it out because I often am there delayed. And time to kill and, anyway. Hmm. And then I peruse the vending machines that have charcuterie.
Yeah, that's just, I mean.
And sandwiches, too. I unfortunately got a sandwich out of a vending machine not long ago. I do not recommend.
Jeff, I see your face. No, you do. You can get charcuterie out of the vending machine. It does feel very Sonoma County.
It does. Actually, speaking of candy and licorice, they have very, very fancy containers of candy and licorice, too, out of a vending machine.
Huh.
But it's really
it also sounds 7-Eleven adjacent.
Who doesn't want a good 7-Eleven?
Seriously.
I mean, Slurpees
for life. I was just
going
to say, I'll take one of those.
Slurpees for life.
Love Slurpees.
Yeah.
Well.
Not speaking of Slurpees.
Transition. I know. I was like, let me just walk us right back out of that conversation.
Xanax. Is Xanax happening today, perhaps?
So naturally, we should talk about that. Well. Such a natural transition. But yes, so all of our winery partners that are producing Zinfandel today at Fort Mason Center in San Francisco is the big Xanax wine tasting.
Well, what do you know?
Yeah. So 3 to 5 members can join or enter at 2. And so if you're listening to this, maybe you're on your way driving down to the city right now and getting ready to go try a lot of amazing Zins.
Including recent guest Holly Winery will be pouring their couple estate Zins.
Yeah, and Knoll Winery, one of our good partners, and April Knoll has been on our board of directors for the last couple of years. So go to Xanax. Go to Fort Mason, not too late.
And
get in the car and head on down to the city.
And come right back and join us on today's Good Stuff. On today's Good Stuff, we have in studio our guest, Palmer Emmett, owner winemaker at Judge Palmer. Welcome.
Thank you. Nice to be here.
I can't help but have the first question be like, are you a judge or who is Judge Palmer?
The judge was my grandfather. Palmer is my first name. It was my mother's maiden name. And my grandfather was a municipal court judge up in Placerville, California, El Dorado County. Back in the 60s and 70s.
So after it was known as Hangtown?
Yeah, we weren't still hanging people in California in the 60s and 70s, but
That's a piece of history I had no idea.
It's famously known as Hangtown.
Correct.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
But yeah, he was not an attorney. He did not go to law school. He was an electrician.
Really?
And the local judge had passed away, and they needed somebody to fill in, and he was appointed by his friends on the county board of commissioners, and
wow.
he had to pass the baby bar, which nobody really knew what that was until Kim Kardashian started taking it recently.
Yeah.
But and then he was reelected four times and served as the judge there in town for almost 20 years. So.
Wow. So there's a legitimate Judge Palmer.
There was indeed, yeah.
And kids, you don't need to go to law school.
I know.
Yeah, just baby bar, I guess. So did you grow up in Placerville? Because I know that there's a skiing part of your history.
No, so I grew up in New Jersey. I was born in New York City and grew up in New Jersey, but have always had family connections here in Northern California, and we had a family place at Lake Tahoe, and that's where I learned how to ski and found sort of the first big passion of my life that I followed, which was as a downhill ski racer. I was raced Division I NCAA in college, and then competed for a year after college on a postgraduate ski team, trying to make the U.S. ski team, traveling and all over the world and competing.
So New Jersey, not a natural upbringing to get into skiing.
No, but that's the family
influence.
I mean, if you
told me surfing, hanging out on the on the shore,
right? Yeah,
that would seem a little more likely.
Definitely the family influence from Lake Tahoe.
Okay.
We'd come out for Christmas every year for 2 weeks, and I'd train for 2 weeks at on the ski team up at North Star.
Wow.
And then usually for spring break as well for a week or two. So close to half of my ski days every year as a kid were at Lake Tahoe. Yeah.
How young were you when you started?
Started skiing at 7, started competing at 11 or 12.
Yeah.
Wow.
A little bit of a later start than probably most people on the Division I circuit.
Yeah, my family moved from South Dakota to Colorado when I was 10, and that I started skiing a little bit when I was probably like 12 or so, and that felt like a little bit of a late start almost for the kids. Mm. Like I had just enough of that like kind of fear starting, which you don't have, I don't think, at like 5, 6, 7 even.
Right, yeah.
You just kind of attack the slope and off you go.
It's definitely, the fear factor is a big thing for learning. I had my girls on skis at 2.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
they're fearless now.
And all my friends in Colorado could ski very well, and I was kind of, doing the big cross across the mountain
the bunny hill.
Or the bunny. Okay, I wasn't going to say I was on the bunny hill, thanks.
The bunny hill's a great place to be.
It is.
I mean, for
it
a
is.
While, anyway. So skiing, not snowboarding, or both?
Only skiing.
Okay.
Yeah.
And that was by design?
Yes.
Okay, tell us more. I mean, you're being very yes.
How do you really feel about it?
Yeah, no, I did. Yes. I did snowboard. One day just to say that I did it, but
I've
never lost my love for skiing. Didn't need to try it. My sister picked up snowboarding for a little while in high school, but she went back to skiing. So,
okay, so then you went to college on a scholarship for skiing, and where was that?
So I went to a Division III Bowdoin College, but. We competed in Division I for skiing, but there were no scholarships.
Okay.
But competed 4 years, was captain of the ski team.
And
there.
That's in Maine.
That
right?
is in Maine. You have small liberal arts college in Maine, and majored in mathematics, but took quite a few other classes there, as you can do at a liberal arts college, and flexed some different muscles, and ended up taking as many film studies classes as I did math classes. And so decided after my skiing career was over after college to apply to NYU Tisch School of the Arts for grad school and study film.
Okay, so what was the...
So it's so natural that you're sitting here in Wine Country then today is what I'm seeing.
Well, I mean, was Warren Miller, is that how that happened? All those Warren Miller films, about skiing? Like, is that what you wanted to do, or you wanted to do more, who were your inspirations on the film side?
On the film side, my inspirations were, comedy films of the 80s and 90s, grew up on Caddyshack and Animal House and things like that. Ferris Bueller's Day Off is probably
classics.
My favorite movie
classics.
Of all time.
Yeah.
Do you think you could do a Caddyshack version of skiing?
Well, you know, they did Hot Dog the movie back in the 80s.
I must have missed that.
That's an absolute classic.
This is on the list now? Hot Dog the movie.
Okay.
I missed it,
Rudy
too.
Rudy Garmisch, yeah.
Wow. All right.
It didn't become the age-old classic that some of those other films you mentioned, but...
If you're a ski racer, you know, or a skier of any kind, Hot Dog the movie,
So you're in New York City... You're studying film. I mean, what an amazing place to study anything kind of in the media world. And then what happens?
So then after I finished the degree there, I had in my sort of summers off of grad school, I'd produced a film that I had written and directed. Done some other
Hot
screenwriting. And then decided if I was... serious about this movie business thing, that I had to move to LA, which, you know, for a guy from New Jersey, everyone thought I was absolutely insane to move out with the crazies in Hollywood. But had a good friend from high school who was also planning to move to Hollywood and work as a talent agent. And so we moved there together, and I spent 8.5 years working in the movie business in Hollywood and pursuing that. That's the sort of second of my three passions that I pursued in life, wine being the third, obviously. Yeah.
So what sort of things did you get to do? I mean, were you in the mailroom? Were you actually being able to, like, be on sets? Like, what was kind
of... I did a little bit of everything. The first couple of years I was there, I worked on a variety of different movie sets, film and television sets. Worked on a movie called Rumor Has It, which was the unofficial sequel to The Graduate, with Kevin Costner and Jennifer Aniston, Shirley MacLaine, directed by Rob Reiner. I worked on a movie called Cellular, which was sort of a B-action thriller with Kim Basinger and Jason Statham and Chris Evans.
Wow.
Worked on some television pilots, and then landed with the job that I sort of ultimately wanted, which was a development executive for a feature film production company that had a first look deal at Walt Disney. So I worked on the Disney studio lot in Burbank for 5 years, reading scripts, working with writers, trying to get movies made.
And what percentage of those writers are somewhat insane?
I guess it depends on your definition of insanity. I think sometimes the writers are the most sane people.
Okay, well, that could be, but in
Hollywood. But
I can only imagine, like, having to read that many scripts. Like, what that must really be like.
I kind of explain my job to people is I'd have to read about 10 scripts to find one that I like. Mm-hmm. Have to find 10 that I like to find one my boss liked. He'd have to find 10 he liked to find one that the studio would buy, and the studio would buy 10 scripts for every movie they made. So I'd have to read about 10,000 scripts to get a movie made.
Incredible. So at what point are you starting to have an interest in wine? Are you drinking wine at this point? Are you eating out in LA a lot? Are you getting into food? Like, what's happening?
My father was the first person that got me into wine. He collected wine when I was a kid. He built this absolutely fabulous wine cellar in our home in New Jersey that was accessed through a trap door in the dining room and a spiral staircase going down. So well before I ever drank wine, I thought, well, you know, wine is cool.
Yeah,
trap door. Did you know about the trap door?
Like, yes. I did. And it was, and it was really heavy, and it was, hidden under a carpet and behind a partition. And so it was, a very cool thing for me to show my friends that check this thing out.
And what was in there? Like, what was your dad into? Like, what sort of wines did
he
drink?
He had mostly Bordeaux's and Napa cabs. He had a little bit of everything, but he had purchased futures of all the first growths of 82 Bordeaux's. And so that
was bad timing for him,
right?
Just kidding.
Yeah, so that, those were pretty special.
Yeah.
Jeez.
What a vintage.
But when I came of age, he started sharing wines with me, and the first sort of aha wine I had was a Willamette Valley Pinot Noir.
Huh, really?
And so my father, every time we'd go out, he'd let me pick a Pinot Noir off the list, and he told me about, well, there's Burgundy, and then Sonoma County Pinot Noir, and and so, and he'd always order either a Napa Cab or a Bordeaux, and we'd talk about it, and that's how I sort of started to become interested in wine and started to learn a teeny bit about it. And then when I moved to Los Angeles, I had a good friend who was living in San Francisco. I came to visit him one weekend, and he said, "Hey, my buddy from high school is a winemaker in Napa. Let's go taste wine." I said, "Sure, I like wine." And his friend that I met that day ultimately became my business partner.
Okay.
Wow. And so I, you know, starting to take a lot of trips up here to taste wine in Napa and Sonoma. Sort of my interest in wine turned into a hobby and then an obsession and ultimately a profession. I started taking the WSET courses at night after work just for fun. Didn't really expect it to go anywhere. Started writing a wine blog and organizing wine tasting parties at night for my friends in Hollywood. And just, you know, the wine bug, as you know, is an incurable disease, and it just took over.
Yeah.
And then sort of near the end of my time in LA, when the movie business was in the process of, you know, chewing me up and spitting me out, as it does to a lot of people, I found out about Sonoma State's wine MBA program and said, "Oh, that sounds pretty interesting. Sounds like it was kind of made for me." So I left the movie business and moved here to do the wine MBA at Sonoma State.
I love it.
I know. I was just looking at us, but I'm just sort of processing like your career path. Are these? I kind of love you have these passions / almost hobbies that then you kind of fully jump into and really pursue to till the extent that you're like, okay, I did that and I fulfilled kind of my. Either my passion or my highest potential or where that's going to go for me, time for the next. And three very unusual in the northern New Jersey world to bounce from. So that's very cool. I love that a lot.
I'm interested just so you know, when you step into the wine program at Sonoma State, I mean, obviously you had been in the working world for a while and probably learned a lot about business in Hollywood, like a very unique business. But, I mean... Was the wine industry just everything was completely new to you? Like, were there things you could kind of like bring over?
Well, I would say that the similarities between the two, I mean, one, in order to sell fine wine, like you really have to be able to tell a story. And as a development executive in Hollywood, I got, you know, the master's degree in storytelling.
Yeah.
And I think the other thing that's really similar between the two businesses is you have this, you know, intersection of art and science and business in a very interesting way that for me as a, you know, as a Renaissance man who was a math major and then has a business degree and a film degree, you know, that really excites me about the wine industry, that I kind of get to do something a little bit different every day as the owner of a small winery. You know, some days I'm getting my hands dirty and doing cellar work and crushing grapes or out in the vineyard, or I'm, you know, hosting people for a tasting and flexing people skills, or, you know, some days I'm doing the accounting and the compliance and, you know, I kind of get to flex all of those different areas of my brain. So
I feel like I should ask you what hobby you're currently pursuing, because that might be a little foreshadowing for what you're up to in about 8 to 10 years.
No, maybe he's found what ultimate.
I think there's always something on the side.
Gonna be something else.
Yeah, we hope this is the last one. This is it. Yeah, other than parenting my two daughters, this wine is.
Well, that's good. That's something you're going to do for a lifetime. So
the next ski champions.
The next, right?
So there could be a return to the beginning, perhaps. But I would say, you know, I would think like the other similarity is just time. Like you have to be so patient, because anything that you're developing in Hollywood and any wine you're developing, you got to wait a long time to see it come to life.
Yeah. So yeah, 2 years in barrel for a Cabernet is nothing compared to what we call development hell in the movie business.
Okay, well, we're going to come right back to that after a short break. Back on the good Good Stuff with our guest, Palmer Emmett, owner, winemaker at Judge Palmer. And we still have a ways to go to get to the Judge Palmer part. So, you're at Sonoma State.
Yep.
You're sort of translating a lot of what you learned, it seems like, in Hollywood to what you might do next. Like, when you stepped into that program, what were you thinking? Like, you were going to try and just work in the industry, or did you already have a vision of starting your own thing?
I did not have a vision of starting my own thing. I kind of expected that I would do some wine writing and move back to LA and open up a wine bar and become, you know, sommelier to the stars.
Nice.
You know, that was sort of my vision. I loved my life in LA, loved my friends there, really thought I would head back there. And then I mentioned I had this friend of a friend who was a winemaker in Napa, Michael Scorsone, and we started spending quite a bit of time together when I moved up here, and was here about 6 months, and he said, "Hey, I have a deal at the winery where I'm working that I can make some of my own wine on the side. So if you buy the grapes, I'll make the wine and we'll be business partners."
Off
I said,
go.
I said, "I've been waiting 5 years for you to ask me that."
Oh my God. So what year did he ask you that?
That was 2011. That was right after I moved up here. Okay. So, you know, the next question was, okay, what grapes are we buying?
What are we going to make?
And he said, "Well, I have this relationship with Andy Bechstoffer and we can buy grapes from the Bechstoffer George's Third Vineyard." And I said, "Okay, great. I guess we're starting at the top." So
yeah,
that was our first vintage, 2011. We just made that one wine, the Bechstoffer.
I think
George's
you might have gotten
cab.
The bad end of that deal, because I'm pretty sure those grapes were fairly expensive.
Yes.
He's maybe, like, "I'll take care of the winemaking.
Maybe
don't worry about it."
Maybe not in 2011.
Okay, fine.
Yeah, in 2011. Yeah. Yeah, one, they had some extra grapes for sale, okay. And two, the vintage wasn't going that well, and so we...
That was a good time to start.
The first couple of years, we had a non-vineyard designate contract with them, so the grapes were little bit cheaper, and
makes
then
sense.
As we continued and then upgraded to the Bechstoffer Tokalon a few years later, then the grapes got quite a bit more expensive.
Yeah. Once you put the name on the bottle.
Right, which led
the
contract
changes.
To the next... sort of the next evolution of what the Judge Palmer brand became, which was, you know, me coming into the industry and you know, tasting wines from both sides of the hill, Napa and Sonoma, and seeing the price disparity in the grapes and wondering why would this more or less the same soil and the same climate, you know, why are these grapes 3, 4, 5, 6 times more expensive? And so then the goal became, let's try to find sites in Sonoma County where we can make wine that's every bit as good as this wine that we're making from Bechstoffer's vineyards.
Yeah. Yeah, you're paying a lot for a name.
Yeah.
You know, in some places.
Paying a lot for, you know, marketing and history and, you know, arbitrary lines on maps.
Absolutely.
Right? So true.
So what'd you find? I mean, what did you settle on?
So the first vineyard we found on the Sonoma side of the hill that we really fell in love with was at the time called the Ellis Alden Vineyard. It's now the Star Springs Ranch. Ellis Alden's daughter, Jenny, was a friend of mine in Los Angeles. She was an actor, and I had been up to this property years before I was in the wine business, and it was just a beautiful 4,000-acre ranch about 20 minutes up a dirt road from Geyserville, 1,900 feet elevation, volcanic soil, 800 acres of vines, just absolute stunning property. And so when we started making wine, I told Michael, "Hey, I have a vineyard source.
I have a source too.
I think we should check out." And I think he was a little skeptical at first that I had found a vineyard. But as soon as I got him up there, he said, "Oh, wow," just completely blown away by the site. And Ellis took us on a epic ATV tour around the entire 4,000 acre ranch and basically said, "Take your pick."
Wow.
And so, you know, Michael pointed up at this one singular block separate from the rest of the vineyard at the highest point, south facing hillside, and said, "I want that." And Ellis said, "Well, that's actually the one block on the entire property that's specifically contracted to somebody, but it's a 10 ton contract, and usually it makes about 12 or 13 tons, so you can have whatever it produces in excess of 10 tons. And so we made that wine for the first time in 2013, and it was our favorite Cabernet of the vintage. And but then the yields started dropping. We had some years with smaller yields, and then we had the fire in 2017. Yeah. So we didn't actually get to do that wine again until 2018, when the vineyard manager called us up and said, "Well, the contract has expired, and it's yours if you want it."
Wow, incredible! That's so was really Cab cool. the focus? I mean, it sounds like Cab was the focus at the beginning, but
yes.
does it continue to be kind of your main focus, or what are you?
It's still the majority of the production, but as we've established earlier in this interview, when my passion for something gets in the way, then all rational thinking tends to go out the window. So, we added have added a bunch of different things over the years. We get passionate about a certain varietal or a certain style of wine or a certain vineyard site, mm-hmm. and say let's do that. So. In addition to the many different single vineyard Cabernets that we've done, from Stagecoach and the Bexhofer Vineyards, Monterosso Vineyard, a few different vineyards in Dry Creek Valley. We've also done Cabernet Franc, Merlot, Malbec, Sauvignon Blanc, Chardonnay under the Judge Palmer brand. And then we established a second label named after a member of Michael's family called Domenico Amato, where we're doing Italian varietals. So we've really done wow. Quite a bit of different things over the years.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so Sonoma County seems like the perfect place to be if you're going to play in all these areas. I mean, Italian varieties you can find in Sonoma County, probably not as much in Napa. So you came to the right place, I think.
Absolutely. Yeah. And that's sort of my, number one pitch to visitors at the winery who are maybe coming to Sonoma County for the first time is, the diversity here in the number and quality of different wines, different varietals, different styles made in Sonoma County is unmatched, I think, anywhere in the world.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
It's a good thing you do.
I know, right?
But I'm wondering, along the way, have you learned a lot about the winemaking side as well?
Absolutely.
And the vineyard side? So you sort of picked up skills as you went.
Right. So starting with the second vintage in 2012, I had a lighter semester of classes in the fall, and so I went to work full-time in the winery with Michael. And so since 2012, I've been pretty hands-on with the winemaking, especially during harvest.
Yeah, of course. I feel like you had a question for us, but I think you're thinking.
No, I'm just thinking. No, I like the trajectory. So did you keep going back down to LA and pouring wine for folks and merging those worlds at all, or?
For running this small winery.
Hollywood?
No, I mean, I'm still very close with all my friends down there. I try to get there as often as I can, but, running a small winery where I'm doing everything 7 days a week, it's hard to get away as much as I would like. Yeah.
Hopefully they come up here.
Well, that'd be great.
I mean,
they do. Yeah,
good to get out of LA once in a while.
Yeah, everyone who's come up here has joined the wine club become part of the family. So,
and the Ellis Alden vineyard you said has a different name now, so it's sold.
Yeah, Ellis passed away. The family still owns it, but they sort of rebranded it the Star Springs Ranch.
Star Springs. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Interesting.
And it's part of the. There is a new proposed sub AVA of Alexander Valley.
Pocket Peak.
Pocket Peak. Yeah, and so it's part of Pocket Peak. Yeah.
Got it.
Okay. Yeah, so I kind of know. Yeah.
That's a big ranch, though. Still 800 acres under vine?
I believe so.
Close to, as
far as I know. Huh. Yeah. Yeah, and it's been split. I believe Jackson family leases about half of the property.
Got it.
And the family still farms the other half. Yeah.
Wow, that's a big ranch.
Were you the first vineyard designate for that place? Because I remember seeing it, and it must have been on a Judge Palmer bottling.
There were a handful of people who had done vineyard designates of either Alden Family Vineyards or Ellis Alden Vineyards. I believe Rodney Strong for a while did an Alden Vineyard, Cabernet, a couple of other small producers.
Okay, we're going to take a quick break. Wow. We will be right back on The Good Stuff. Back good stuff with our guest Palmer Emmett, owner winemaker at Judge Palmer. And so we'd love to give people a sense of, like, can they, you know, do you have a lot of your wines in restaurants locally or retail, or how can they find you? How can they experience your wines?
We have a handful of placements in local restaurants, but mainly we sell direct to consumer at the winery in Healdsburg. Currently, we're on 52 Front Street, right on the river, and we do tastings there by appointment 7 days a week. And we have Chef Mateo Granados, formerly of Mateo's Restaurant in Healdsburg, who's sort of our resident chef, farms the garden on the property and does food and wine pairings there on the weekend. And then we're in the process of opening up a separate tasting room for the Judge Palmer brand in Healdsburg that'll hopefully be open by the end of the summer.
Nice.
Okay. And you can purchase the wines, through the website, or just come see me at the winery. Yeah.
What's the current lineup of Judge Palmer wines?
Several different single vineyard Cabernets. Okay. So, you know, Bexhofer Tokalon, Stagecoach, Monterosso, Gradick Ranch from Dry Creek, our former state vineyard property in Dry Creek, the Star Springs Ranch, Cabernet Franc, Merlot, Sauvignon Blanc, Chardonnay. And then we're still doing some of the other wines under the Domenica brand as well. So Barbera, Sangiovese, Falanghina, Cortese, some red blends.
What he said.
No, I'd love to know. I mean, what else is kind of ahead? Are you looking at different varieties? Yeah, what are you thinking about doing?
I'm trying to rein in the passion a little bit and really, really focus. You know, I think what I've found with my customers for the most part is, and I think where the industry is hopefully going, less wine geeky, more accessible. So really want to focus down to, you know, as opposed to seven different Cabernets, maybe two or three, you know, kind of make one that's the best of Sonoma, one that's the best of Napa, and then identify, you know, two or three other varieties to focus on and really, really limit the lineup down. Cabernet Franc has been really successful for us. Barbera has been really successful. Grenache Blanc is a grape that we've worked with in the past that was always the best-selling white in our tasting room. And actually, when I was at Sonoma State, I was in this blind tasting competition that was sponsored by Wines and Vines magazine. And Pernod Ricard, and I ended up winning the grand prize and all expenses paid trip to Champagne. Ooh. And the wine that I got right in the last round that nobody else got was a Grenache Blanc.
It's
been my favorite grape variety since then. You know, got to stay at the Maison Cordon Rouge at GH Mum and the Maison Perrier Jouet, Belle Epoque at Perrier Jouet, just like an unbelievable dream trip to Champagne, all due to having tasted a Grenache Blanc
before. Thank you, Grenache Blanc. I think that should be your flagship wine and always in your portfolio then. You owe it a lot.
That's right.
Yeah. What was where was it from?
It was from Provence.
Okay.
Yeah.
Nice place for it to be.
I didn't nail the region, but I got the grape, but nobody else did. So
that's
well done. Yeah. So, you know, we talk a lot about Sonoma County is such an interesting place where a lot of people have grown up in the wine industry and they leave and they come back. Some people don't leave. And then there are people like you who just have reinvented their careers several times. Do you have people that come to you looking for advice? Like, what would you tell them if they're interested in going into the wine business in the long
Good
term?
Question,
the long vision, not the short, but it's worked for you.
Yeah, I mean, I love it here. I certainly, I'm a big, big supporter of Sonoma County in general and love living here, love the passion of the people in the wine industry. As we talked about before, love the diversity of the wines offered and it's, is really a vibrant community of winemakers and wine sellers in Sonoma County that I love. And I have faith that the wine industry will find a path forward here. Yeah. I think we're all going to have to adapt and change and survive, but I'm optimistic for sure.
So I have to know, does your family still have the house with the trap door cellar and or no. Maybe your bottles of wine down there? Okay, I just have to know.
But somebody does.
Somebody does.
Yeah,
somebody
has thinking, you know what, I'm just going to ship them a case of wine.
Totally blind. Secret cellar.
Just tell them, hey, I grew up here and put this
you
wine in the
to.
Cellar.
Okay, yeah. No, you have to. We're going to follow up with you because you have to do that. And I want a picture like, you know, what it looks like. I mean, that's so cool.
I would like one in my house. Do you know how to create one?
I wouldn't be the contractor to hire for that job.
I do feel like that's the start of a good movie, though.
Yes.
Just pulling all your life together.
Yeah.
We
need a ski
film.
Wine.
Yeah. You're coming back from skiing. There's this house.
Ski into.
The trapdoor. Yeah. The trapdoor cellar, and all of a sudden you're a winemaker. I mean, there you go.
Yeah.
A clear plot line.
All right. I think it's going to be a hit. Palmer Emmerich from Judge Palmer, thank you for joining us today on The Good Stuff. It was nice to hear your story.
Great to be on the show.
Thank you. Really nice to spend some time with you. Thank you.
Finishing up another episode of The Good Stuff. Our guest today was Emmett Palmer.
Yeah, Palmer. Pretty fascinating background.
Palmer Emmett. I think I got it reversed.
Yeah, Palmer Emmett.
Palmer Emmett. Judge Palmer.
Judge Palmer, which I have to say, I love the name. And I love that there was a real Judge Palmer who wasn't really a judge, but then became a judge.
Makes you wonder. Who's out there making these decisions over
of
us?
That's actually the script he should have written.
Yeah,
I think is the Judge Palmer.
Mm-hmm.
Well, in Hangtown. In Hangtown. Maybe he didn't want to give away his secret that that's what he's working on.
Maybe bring it back like 100 years when it was still wild, Wild West.
The Wild West.
Yeah.
As opposed to the Wild New Jersey.
Different. Very different.
Different wild.
Mm-hmm. Well, so people can go visit and taste. It sounds like location will be changing, but it hasn't yet, so...
Sounds like still sticking around the Healdsburg area, though.
Yep, Front Street, 52 Front Street. Walk-ins welcome Saturday and Sunday, and that's when they do some food and wine pairings with the chef. So, go check it out.
And
try the wines.
JudgePalmer.com.
JudgePalmer.com to find out more.
There you go. So what are you doing for Tuesday night?
Well...
Now I want to know the whole thing, like hanging out... Watching a movie. No, I'm kidding.
Yeah, really. Which movie should we watch?
Yeah, exactly. I feel like we should pair this Tuesday night's wine with a movie.
Okay, I'm going to.
Okay, I like it. Now the pressure's on.
I'm going
on.
To. And
now
so I'm going to have the Judge Palmer Monterosso Cab.
Oh, okay. So that's
because
that seems like a big wine. So what's the big movie?
Wedding Crashers.
Oh, well done.
And you know why? Well, I mean, I would watch that anytime, anywhere.
Okay.
But it's also because... He made mention of the Ellis Alden Vineyard and Jenny Alden, a friend of his who was an actress, and she played the bride in Wedding Crashers.
Oh, I like it.
So there you have it.
There you go. Full circle.
Yeah. Plus Vince Vaughn at his best.
I know. I do love that.
Mm. Nearly. Nearly at his best.
Yeah.
Nearly. I was going to say dodgeball would like a word.
Okay. Fair. Well, but there's no Jane Seymour in that one. Or Christopher Walken, I might add. So, maybe Christopher Walken at his near best.
Hmm.
He's always best.
Yeah. So, I'm kind of inspired. I like the Grenache Blanc. And I have to say, it's kind of made me in the mood for kind of a bright white. And one of my favorites is from Lassiter. They're Voila. Am I saying that right? You should say it for me. So
voila.
Voila.
And they have I think they have an exclamation point
I think
you have to say it like that.
I know. I do feel like it comes with a lot of enthusiasm.
Voila, you must drink this wine now.
It is the Sauvignon Blanc Semillon blend, which I always really enjoy. And I'm actually, because I just learned this, my husband has not seen Devil Wears Prada, and I really want to go to see Devil Wears Prada 2. And so I did not force him to start the movie in the middle, which he likes to do to me all the time.
That would be a mistake.
And so we have to start over. So I think maybe, I think of Voila. Feels like that would be a perfect fit with Devil Wears Prada.
Two?
The first.
Or the first.
The first, okay. So then we can go see two.
Okay. And then you can decide on a different wine to bring to two.
Exactly.
I like it.
I think so.
Okay. Well,
so there you go.
I would love to be in the room watching Steve Dutton watch Devil Wears Prada. One or two.
I think that's going to be when he naps, but I'll enjoy myself immensely. So it's totally fine.
At least you'll be together.
Maybe we should watch it and save it for harvest when when I know he's going to sleep anyway, and then I won't feel bad.
That might be a good idea. Well, thanks for joining us on today's Good Stuff from Sonoma County to wherever you are. Remember to drink the good stuff.
Cheers to that.
Good times.